right, company? We gonna set this one up for Karen. Y'all ready?
Blessing of the Lord be upon you and you and you. God bless you, one and all. I give honor to God for his allowing us to be here with us on tonight. We thank God for his goodness. We thank God for his grace. We thank God for his favor and his mercy. We thank God for all of the people of God being with us tonight. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you on tonight. I thank God for the Honorable Pastor Felicia Dotson and to her guests. We thank God for each and every one of you. I am already in service on tonight, so I thank God for what God is preparing to do in the lives of the people who are on this line. Listen, this is the season for miracles, breakthrough, deliverance, and favor. This is the season where God is moving red seas out of your way. And what he's doing is he's removing things out of your life that are causing you to be under the control of the enemy. I'm trusting God tonight that a miracle... Can you do this? I don't think you can do that. I'm trusting God tonight for a miracle on your behalf. This is a timing where you are going to have to find yourself in prayer. You're going to have to find yourself consistently before the Lord. You're going to have to find yourself in a spirit of movement. You're going to have to find yourself in a spirit of movement, waiting and watching for God to do something powerful in this season in your life. And I am encouraged. I am prophetically declaring that every person under the sound of my voice is due for special favor. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you for every person, Lord God, who has come together to be united in the spirit of grace and favor and mercy during the season of this ministry and this timing. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're working all things out together for our good. I thank you, Lord God, that all things are moving for your people, Lord, and that you're illuminating special light in the midst of darkness and in the midst of whatever they're going through. So, God, in Jesus' name, have your way tonight in this broadcast. Be with your people tonight, and let your will be done. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, give you honor, and we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a scripture reading by our newest minister to our ministry, Elder Stephanie Kenyon. We thank God for her, and we ask the Lord to just bless the reading of his word. Evangelist, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
God bless you. Go ahead.
I'll be reading from Psalm 34, starting at the first verse, going to the third verse, again, Psalm 34, and it reads, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. May the Lord add a blessing to his red word.
Amen. Y'all have to really pardon me tonight. I'm en route following GPS, not knowing exactly where we're going. And thank God for Brother Felton getting us where we got to go and making sure that everything is taken care of. So we thank God for the ministers and the faith ambassadors doing what God has called them to do in this season. At this time, I'm going to turn the service, this portion of the service, over to the hand of Pastor Dotson, and she's going to go forth as she chooses to.
Amen, people of God. Thank you so much again for joining in on Saint on Purpose broadcast with the Faith Ambassadors. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We thank God for you. If you would like to join the ministry or find out more information about Faith Ambassadors, please check us out at faithambassadors247.com, faithambassadors247.com. As well, our email is faithambassadors247@gmail.com, faithambassadors247@gmail.com. On that website, you can sow, you can email us, you can tithe, you can give, and you can find out more information. Please email us any prayer requests. If you are interested in becoming a part of the ministry movement as an honorary member, meaning you have a pastor, you have a covering, but you would like to connect with us, or if you would like to become a member, I don't want to say just, because you're not just anything, but justified by God. But if you would like to become a member of the ministry, email us at faithambassadors247@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. You can find us by searching for Daniel Faith Ambassadors. Like one page and join the others. Join us Monday through Thursday for our services, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Monday night, our Staying on Purpose broadcast, where we talk about life issues and how the Word of God handles them. Tuesday night is our women's ministry, where we set the women of God on fire and push you to your purpose and into the plan of God, into the face of God. Wednesday night is our youth ministry, those that are young in Christ being ministered to, and even those that are still seasoned in Christ, getting built up and strengthened in the Word and in the Lord of, in the Word of God and in the Lord. On Thursday night is our School of the Prophets, where the leadership is being taught how to be better leaders, how to be wise leaders, how to live by the word of God in leadership. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you. If we could get 3 minutes of a song, and then we will come back with our very special anointed guest. And we are going to have, let the Lord lead us in our discussion in the way he will have us to go, talking about mental health and the church. Mental health and the church. If you can get about 3 minutes of a song, if you would invite people of God, get somebody on the line to speak.
Amen, amen. God, we thank God for you again. I thank you so much for inviting the woman of God that I'm going to bring up right now. She is anointed. She is appointed by God. She is a sister and a friend, and she is definitely called of God. She's a mother, but most of all, she is faithful and loyal to the kingdom of God. And I present the song and introduce to others my very great friend, Prophetess Angie Jackson Rush. Woman of God, are you there?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for you. If you would go ahead and introduce yourself and your role in the mental health community and the church.
Amen. Good afternoon, people of God. Just first like to thank Mr. Ariel for inviting me to be on the show tonight, and just thank God for all that he is doing. So my role that God has given me as a profession, I am the director of the Children's Mental Health Unit for Youth and Families at a local mental health authority in the state of Texas. So we serve about 8 counties. We serve about close to 2,000 families, youth and their families, concerning their mental health. And my role in the church is I am a minister. I am blessed to be able to deliver the word, to be a teacher in the house of God, and to give a word as the Lord would give utterance as a prophetess. And so combining all that, I thank God that he has allowed me that even on my job, even in my profession, I am able to even bring light to families that a child being diagnosed, a child or an adult being diagnosed with a mental health condition is not some death sentence, but it is actually a life sentence, because I truly believe in all things we must trust God. One of my favorite things to say to families is, because the mental health world is still so taboo, still so, a lot of people don't want to admit that they may be having struggles with their emotions and their feelings, but I love to try to explain to people that mental health is just like your physical health. Everybody has mental health, whether it's in good mental health or maybe not so good mental health. We all still deal with mental health just as we do physical health. Some of us are in very good physical health. Some of us maybe not so good physical health. And so with that being said, I encourage everyone to learn for themselves where their trust level is with God. When I'm the mother of a now adult, but when my son was young, he got diagnosed with 2 things. He was diagnosed with asthma at a very young age. He wasn't even 2 years old. And then at 8 years old, he was diagnosed with ADHD and bipolar disorder. And just like I saw after him with the asthma, I sought treatment for the ADHD and the bipolar disorder. But just as I did with his asthma, I sought the Lord. And so it was with the ADHD and the bipolar disorder, I also sought the Lord. And I'm here tonight just to encourage everyone on the phone call, everyone that's listening, to if you are having any difficulties with your mental health, with your emotions and your feelings, Seek out help just as you would for any physical condition. It's kind of funny tonight because I also, as I told you, my role within mental health, I'm a director, but personally, I do have a struggle with a physical health condition. I have sickle cell anemia. And even as I speak to you right now, I'm actually laying in a hospital bed, being attended to by 2 wonderful nurses. And But I committed to doing this, and I'm very happy to be doing it and happy to be feeling well enough to do it for these few minutes. And to say to you that as a director for children's mental health, I see so many parents come in and be very hesitant to bring their children for treatment. But early detection, just like with any physical health, early detection always will lend a good prognosis. When children are brought in at an early age, if it is a true mental health condition, the earlier the better. The earlier the interventions, the better. When we can get them on a good regimen, and I'm not a pill pusher. I'm not saying everyone needs to put their child on medication. Sometimes it's just some play therapy or some talk therapy or some different interventions and skills training that the mental health world can deliver to the child and possibly the family to help get on a good track. But whatever the treatment is that is right for you, right for your child, please take it as you seek the Lord and as you ask God for the right treatment for your child.
Amen, amen. I as well, I just came off of working in the same company with Prosperous Agency last year. And during the past 2 years, my son, my middle son was actually diagnosed with ODD, which is oppositional defiant. And at first I was like, what? Not me. No, are you crazy? That's not happening. I'm a friend. Et cetera, et cetera. Because of that, I had to get out of my own way and seek the Lord and know that there are ways to handle things, there are options available to us as a family, and I had to take the same advice that I was giving out to parents in my role in that position at that time in that company was titled Family Partner. And so because it was I was titled Family Partner, then my role was to assist the parents in the transition, in the journey, in resources, and pointing them in the direction. And of course, you know, in different various companies, you can't point them to God unless they bring God up first. But nevertheless, it was a journey. But I found out, as she was stating, that there are various avenues by which treatment can come, not just for our children, but for the adults as well. And it varied from rec therapy, counseling, because I'm not big on medication myself as well. Now, my middle son did go on medication. He did not like it. He did not care for it. So we had to pray about it. And I wasn't going to fight him about taking it at one point. So we had to find other avenues. There are various ways, various treatments by which you can deal with the diagnosis that you as an adult or your child as someone who has dealt with or is dealing with a diagnosis. Various ways to go about obtaining treatment. And it's not just, oh, you know, I took my insulin, I'm a diabetic, I feel better, I'm okay, and I'm going to stop taking it. Same thing in the mental health world. I'm okay, I feel better, I'm going to stop taking it if you decide to go with medication. Or even if you decide to go with counseling, you know, I'm okay, I'm better. It's a journey, and it's something you have to live with every day, except the Lord delivers, except the Lord bring about the change, except the Lord bring the balance chemically, except the Lord bring about the change in the mind. So it's something that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, but yet it doesn't stop your living, or at least we should not allow it to stop our living. We should not allow it to hinder us. And if you are or have been seeking help and you cannot find it, please, 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 Google is your friend, the local clinic, the local health clinic. Nowadays, even Medicaid has a mental health department where you can go and talk to someone and say, hey, I've been feeling suicidal. I've been feeling depressed. I've been feeling this way. I've been having these types of thoughts. And I need to talk to someone. I need to see what I can do to get myself help, because not all the time is isolation is not your friend. Never is isolation your friend, because that is when it gets heavier and harder for you to deal with things, when you isolate or when you're allowed to isolate, be isolated, because you can't fight alone. Help is your friend. Trusted help is your friend. And people of God, the woman of God, like she said, she's in the hospital room, and they gave her some medicine, and she had a reaction to it. So please pray with us. I wanted to address this to the body of Christ so that we know, number one, that we take the label, the stigma out of what we've heard, and to let the people of God know that it's okay. Stop keeping it a secret. Stop being in hiding. Stop isolating yourself. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your leadership. Go to your local health clinic. Talk to your doctor at your regular checkups. It's okay to say, look, for about 3 days, I didn't feel like getting out of the bed. Your doctor needs to know that, so they can point you in the right direction. And not all the time it may be for medication or anything like that. It may be just, hey, here's the number to your local counselor or agency, like where I used to work, that can better assist you and assess you. You don't know, if you never go in and you're going into sugar shock, you could die. Well, we don't want you to hurt yourself because were afraid to go and find out, what are these thoughts I'm having? What's going on with my child? Why the sudden drastic change in their behavior? They're telling me things that I don't quite understand why they're telling me this, and to just push them away. No, but let's seek out help. Let's seek God, as the woman of God said, because the best medicine is coupled with prayer. The best medicine is coupled with fasting. The best medicine is taking the medicine you've been prescribed, coupled with prayer and fasting, and seeking the face of God of what is this and how do I go about handling it, and saying, Lord, what meanest thou this by what's going on right now? Because if you don't know the diagnosis, you don't know what to call out in prayer. Christ knew the name of the spirit once he asked the name of it, and the spirit said, I am legion, for I am many. So if we don't know what to come against, and we don't know what to pray for or pray about, then we're still in the dark. We're still in isolation. So let us come out from the isolation. Let us come out from the dark places. Let us shine light on these situations and these diagnoses and these things that are going on so that we can get help, so that we can be prepared, so we can know what to do. We can hear the voice of God on it, obey him, and walk in the steps that he has ordered for us for healing and strength and for help. Amen. People of God, we thank you so much again for being on the line, Chief. If you have any lines open that the people of God want to ask questions.
Well, I don't... I have lines open, and especially, particularly for Elder McMillan, Stephanie McMillan.
Okay.
She's also into
okay.
mental health. I would like to have her to come on and talk about
yes,
her
please.
Domestic violence
please.
Program and have her to address the saints of God about domestic violence and what...
Yes.
What they need to do in the event, you know, that they, whatever she's led to do, you know, in that regard.
Amen.
McMillan, Stephanie Kenyon McMillan is the new evangelist of the ministry, and she also has her degrees in psychology and works in the mental health arena dealing with domestic violence as an advocate. So we want to ask, while we're talking about mental health awareness tonight, we would like for her to come on, and then if I have an opportunity, then I will come on behind her.
Amen.
Thank you.
Even.
Thank you for the opportunity. So definitely when they all work together at some point, especially whether they're the victim or the abuser, there is some level of mental health involved at one point or another. But when we think about, I'll just speak from a victim's perspective, it's all about educating them and empowering them without leaving them exposed. One of the things I always tell everybody is that it's embarrassing enough that somebody has found themselves in this situation. And what's most important is to understand that it's not your fault. There's nothing that you've done that is bringing this on you, even though that may be being presented to you. That, in fact, is not reality. Love in and of itself is not controlling. Love does not isolate. Love does not leave bruises. So whether that's a physical bruise, because a bruise in the natural is an indication that there has been some type of trauma. When you look at it on your body, it's either purple or bluish. That's an indication that some type of injury or some type of trauma has taken place to that area. So when we kind of go back to love, love is not supposed to leave trauma. It's not supposed to leave you in a traumatic state. It's not supposed to break you down. Remember that love is long-suffering, that love endures all, that love is patient and love is kind. So when you put all of those things together, you understand that domestic abuse or domestic violence is grounded on control. It's all about control, and it starts from the little things in the sense of whatever can be done to control, whether it's isolate you from your family or isolate from your friends. Sometimes it can come in the appearance of they just love you so much and they just want to be around you that much. But we know that you can start to feel what's toxic. You can start to feel what's not healthy. And so those are the signs to look for. And even if you could tap in and talk to the abuser, usually it's because of a behavior that they've seen before, whether they saw it as a child or whether they saw it in their community. It's a learned behavior oftentimes. Something has happened that in their mind has allowed them to believe that they need to control this situation. And the best way to control it is based on the things that I said, is to isolate, is to put fear into that person, because that's what helps to gain that level of control. And there are plenty of resources out, you know, almost every major city has domestic violence shelters or domestic violence programs. For me, it's been important to also assist ministries with creating care and support programs, because a lot of leaders say that outside of praying, they have no idea of how to address somebody who has found themselves in that situation. And so there are a lot of resources out there, whether they be shelters, whether it's legal advice, learning what to do to protect yourself when that victim decides to leave, and learning what to do to protect your assets, learning what to do to protect your children, learning what to do to protect your life. Like, what are your rights? Just to give an example, I had a young lady that I assisted recently who had to suddenly leave her job, and she followed, for what it was worth, the steps of calling in or doing what she needed to do. But ultimately, she ended up getting fired based on what they call a no-call, no-show, eventually down the road. However, in the state that I live in the state of North Carolina, that if it's based on domestic violence, then that's grounds for her to hold, was grounds for her to hold her job. But if in the event she couldn't do that, for the state of North Carolina, domestic violence is the only way that you can get unemployment because you quit. Because normally if you quit a job, you can't get unemployment. You have to be terminated. But, of course, in my state, if you quit and it's based on domestic violence, you are still eligible. And that may be the case in a lot of other cities, but it just comes down to tapping into your resources and seeing what's available out there for individuals. And so, again, the message that I leave with everybody, or the message that I present, is just based on basic principles, that love is not controlling, that love does not isolate, and that love does not leave bruises. And so whether that is a mental bruise or a physical bruise or a spiritual bruise, if you are finding yourself in that position, then you have to take inventory and just reassess, is this really love? But if you are in the depth of that situation, if a person is in the depth of that situation and they are, quote-unquote, a victim, they need to know that there are safe places for them to call and to go to that will help them with their escape plan. One of the other things that people need to know that's important is that if you are the victim and you are making a decision to leave, don't make that announcement. Don't tell them I'm leaving you, or don't say I'm leaving, whatever, to indicate that you're going to leave, because that is when you are at the most danger, because then you heighten their need to be in control, because they're going to lose what it is they feel like they're fighting so desperately to hold on to. And so one of the things you find out is that people who have been through that, survivors, they go through stages of depression, because not only are they being, like I said, physically abused, or they're being mentally abused, it has broken their will in some ways. It has broken their confidence and their self-esteem. So now you find them in a state of depression. And it's all about helping them to regain their identity, to regain confidence in who they are. And also, you know, from a spiritual perspective, just understanding that they have to go back to that place of understanding that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that that's not how God designed love to be, and that God would never allow us to be in a situation that's going to bring us harm, because God loves us more than that. God would never allow us to be in a situation in terms of a relationship that is toxic and that's going to cost us our lives. That's not the will of God for our lives. And so also for young ladies, just helping them to define what is love, because unfortunately we have a lot of young ladies, a lot of young men who grow up in homes where they don't see that all the time. A lot of them grow up in single-parent homes, or they have some type of chaos or something going on in their home that they don't get the exposure to what love really is. And because they don't have that coming out of the gate, then it's a trial and error process. And sometimes that's what makes, especially young ladies, vulnerable to domestic abuse. The greatest age range at risk is from 14 to 45. So you think a 14-year-old is in the ninth grade all the way up to 45. And so because we know that 14 is the bottom of the lower range, that's where you try to reach them before they get into that. And a lot of that is because at 14, people are allowing their children to date younger now, even though we couldn't do that when I was young, but they're allowing their children to date younger now. And so, again, it comes down to understanding the principles of love and the principles of relationships, what's healthy and what's not healthy in the sense of relationships, even down to small gestures. You look around a lot of times on high school campuses and you see these young men and young women, they're in their quote-unquote relationships, and you see this position of the guy having his arm around her neck, you know, holding her, and they're not even thinking about that. But in a sense, he's claiming ownership, a sense of control, but they don't think about that. It's the little things. It's the subtle things. And so it comes down, again, to teaching people their worth and teaching people their value and teaching people exactly who God created them to be from the onset. And that allowing them to be able to stand confidently in that. And that's what will help them as they transition if they're a victim, or the goal is to intervene before they ever even become a victim. Unfortunately, domestic violence seems to be an epidemic. It didn't just start yesterday, but it is what it is. It runs rampant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter. It's not prone to a particular culture. It is what it is. But our goal at the end of the day when the dust settles is to do everything that we can to educate, to empower without exposing, and to help not just the person who's being abused or the victim. At some point, we have to reach out and be able to touch the person who's doing the abuse or who's the abuser. And please know that men can be victims as well, even though 85% of the victims are women and almost 70% of the cases don't even get reported. And a lot of that is because people are just fearful of their lives and that they think that nobody's going to be able to protect them from this individual or nobody's going to be able to protect them. Because oftentimes those protective orders, those are just the paper trails. They need something more substantial, something more structure-wise, just to make them feel safe, especially if you've ever been in that situation, if you know anybody in that situation. So definitely understanding that depression is how I see it as the main mental health battle that a lot of individuals who've been impacted on any level by domestic violence, that's the thing they struggle with, is depression. And then depression can lead to a spirit of suicide, and then it just kind of opens the door for so many other things to creep in and to take hold. And so that's just what I would say, just kind of doing a high level overview of how domestic violence and mental health go hand in hand, and what we do in a sense to fight against that, or to help people not just survive, because to say that you survived domestic violence simply means you just didn't die in it, you didn't die from it. But now you've got to go to the next level, and you've got to get rid of the residue or that post-traumatic stress or anything that helps the memory to continue to replay in your life. And so that's when I tell them now they've got to overcome. And, again, that's by giving them the counseling that they need, the encouragement that they need, the empowerment that they need, and then allowing them to move forward in their lives, to be whatever it is that God has ordained and destined them to be. So those are the other steps, is to move them from survivor to being an overcomer, and from an overcomer to being able to totally move forward and help the next woman or help the next individual. So that's all I have.
Amen. God bless you, Evangelist Stephanie. Thank you so much. Chief Apostle?
Yes. I just wanted to address a couple of things
as it relates to mental health, as it relates to veterans and to individuals who have been in situations like the military has allowed them to go through. I would encourage you to seek a benefits counselor to make sure that you are in line for any counseling that you need. Pastors, any pastors listening to me, there are people in your church that are being emotionally abused in some form or another, whether they're abusing themselves, whether they're abusing others, whether they are seemingly okay. This is where your gift of discernment should be in operation. And it is important for pastors to be able to see these kinds of things and deal with them in a spiritual and professional way. Spiritually, you can pray, but in action, faith without works is dead. Sometimes a person will need intervention. Sometimes a person will need to go through the ministry, and they may get the Holy Ghost enough to deal with their issues. And sometimes our loudness of our minds will outspeak the voice of the Spirit of God. And as a result of that, you'll find people who are depressed. You'll find people who are putting themselves in a mental or emotional resulting ultimately in a spiritual catastrophe. So I want to encourage you, pastors, that that you be able to recognize what your responsibility is in any given circumstance as it relates to mental health issues in your church. Some issues are spiritual. Some issues are spiritual that have now turned into mental issues because of some adoption of a spirit in their mind that have caused them to begin to act in a way that is ungodly and out of control. So I would encourage you to make sure you be able to pay attention to the signs when a person cannot be accountable. And what is accountability? An individual who is running or using tactics to avoid accountability. These are individuals that you need to pay attention to because spirituality and the Holy Ghost should never control anybody in the sense of causing, or we should not, as pastors, be trying to mentally control anybody. But the Holy Ghost should be able to speak into the heart of an individual to compel that individual beyond his emotional state. The emotion is going to change. I want to speak to everybody that's going through some kind of depression, going through some kind of mental anguish. I guarantee you, your feeling is going to change. Your feeling is going to change. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. You don't need a cigarette. You don't need a woman. You don't need a man. You don't even need a pet. All you need is the ability to respond to your feelings with God, with the nature that God put in each and every one of us. So I would encourage you to make sure that your calling is an election, sure, but also make sure that you are mentally, emotionally, spiritually aware in this season. I'm going through a tunnel. I'm going to lose Pastor Dotson and take over. All right, praise the Lord. So I don't know if Elder Britton is on a back road and she's traveling from class tonight. But the last thing I want to address is for individuals who have missing parents, children who have missing parents, whether that parent is missing because of some area of incarceration, whether that parent is missing because for abandonment or whatever reason, I want to let you know that one, there is help you can come.
Chief, I'm sorry. I was on the mute ministry. Forgive me. I'm just talking. Amen, amen. I think we lost him in the tunnel. Forgive us, people of God. You know, the mute ministry always catch us every
encountering
now and then.
That in.
People of God, again, we thank you so much for tuning in to Faith Ambassadors Staying on Purpose broadcast tonight. Again, we pray, God, that you have received some confirmation, instruction, some help through the discussion on tonight, some type of information that will point you in the right direction in order to get help. There's leadership. Wherever you may be, whomever you may be, let us begin to position ourselves, if we aren't already positioned, to be able to help the people of God, pray them through, and point them in the right direction for help and assistance. We thank God for you. We bless God for you. And join us tomorrow night for the women's ministry. I'm sure that I know there will be a word from the Lord. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We love you with the love of God. Go in peace, people of God.
Are you ready to sing? Here we go. Almighty.